World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm looking down the list here a little bit. I got to be honest with you here this morning. I'm always honest with you. It might have been the worst night's sleep I ever had. Last night was crazy. And you're going to think I'm getting old and soft, which I probably am. Jumped on the mower, mowed up at Sky High yesterday, and that ground was so rough, and I'm driving it so fast, and I guess I'm just getting old. I guess that's what's going on. I had aches and pains. Oh, man, oh, man. And then today, I'm excited because today I get to go to Worthington's Kilbourne High School and speak to the seniors today. Four classes of them, I believe, I get to. So it's always a great opportunity to go in there and try to open their eyes and wake them up, shake and bake them, whatever we can do. So praise the Lord on that. I'm going to have to, as soon as the show's over, I got a book, got to get out of here. So God bless you all. You know, a lot going on, man. How about this? Looks like that big hurricane. It's not going to be a big hurricane anymore. A lot of reasons why was that, you know, as I said yesterday, as I was writing it, I wrote yesterday at newswithviews.com, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. I learned that when we went to Hurricane Katrina. That's a long time ago. Hurricane Katrina showed up in a church, and I heard somebody, some guy was praying that this storm would be averted. And I'm not, you know, nothing wrong with that, but I kind of stepped back there for a minute, thought about it, said, well, man, oh, man, oh, man. Hey, friends, do you realize that in my life, okay, in my own life, if I take a bunch of kids out, not so much anymore when I was a younger guy, and I take 10 children with me, and two of them are mine, and eight of them belong to somebody else, but I'm in charge of the group, and I go out there. And if the biggest knuckleheads in the group are my kids, I got a problem. My kids are causing all the problem. And then everybody else starts to misbehave. I got a problem with it. And I learned when we went to Hurricane, it was Katrina, and then it became John. I can't remember. Dale would remember all that, what it was when we were down there. But I remember we were in a church, and some guy was praying that the storm would be averted and yada, yada, yada. And I'm all for that, and I'm glad the storms are being averted. But folks, do you understand this? That the ones that deserve to be spanked the most are God's children. We're the ones who've been granted all power and all authority. It tells us in Matthew, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so it would seem to me that when tornadoes come and hurricanes come, it ought to be God's people that get spanked, because they're the ones who are supposed to make sure that we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. If they drop a nuclear bomb in Columbus, Ohio tomorrow, heaven forbid, Christians aren't going to be singled out and saved. Why do we think this way? What is wrong with us that's the mentality that we have? That there's somehow something special about being one of God's children, when the Bible clearly says tomorrow is promised to no man. That'd be you guys, wouldn't it? Tomorrow's not promised to you. If I die tomorrow, it's not because the Lord doesn't love me. If something bad happens to me tomorrow, it doesn't mean the devil got me. Some of it are just the consequences of life. Sometimes the dude who comes over, left a sinner, and hits your family is some guy that got too drunk. Because he got too drunk, he ran into one of God's children. Now, I believe Psalm 91, he who dwells in a secret place, the Most High, abides under the shadow of the Almighty. I believe that. Michelle and I prayed it this morning. I prayed it over her, prayed it over our family, the hedge of protection. I believe in all that stuff. But friends, the natural consequence of what we would call natural disasters, some of them man-made natural disasters, can somebody explain to me why the church would be immune from judgment when we've permitted all this abortion, all this homosex, and all this tranny stuff? When the church, who is the guardian, Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It doesn't say if the foundations be destroyed, what can the unrighteous do? What can the government do? There's responsibility that falls upon us as children of God, go into all the world, teach them to observe. And folks, just like your own child, if you give your, my dad used to do this when I was a kid. He'd work at Kaiser and Lumen. He'd work two shifts. And in the morning, he'd sometimes during the summer, he'd come and shake my toe in the morning. So, hey, Dave, get that yard mowed for me, will you? Now, that wasn't just a suggestion. I knew if I didn't get that yard mowed for him when he came home, there was going to be hell to pay. He loved me, but I was disobedient to what he told me to do. And he told us to go into all the world and teach them to observe all we teach people inside the church. We don't go outside. We don't impact outside. We're the salt of the church. We're not the salt of the world. And so I saw a lot of people, praise the Lord. Look, I'm not being critical, okay? A lot of people were praying that the storm would be diverted. This new hurricane was a Milton. This new hurricane, they said the most powerful hurricane, top four or five top most powerful hurricanes ever, coming into Tampa, going across there, going to destroy. Most of the people left Tampa. They got out, they ran for, and here this morning they say maybe it may be a category two, it may be a category one. I guess the question that I'm throwing on the table, don't we deserve it? Huh? Does God spank his other people's children or his own children? Do you spank other people's children or your own children? And again, we can't get it to be a wake-up call to people to understand exactly what goes on, that there are consequences to our bad behaviors. And there are consequences. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. I'm not going to get out of everything just because I happen to be saved or have a hedge of protection over me. It's the consequences of life. There are a lot of Christian people who lost everything during Helene. You get that, don't you? So we have a real misunderstanding. God's job is not to protect your stuff. In fact, a lot of times your stuff is what stands between you and God. Betty, you can say amen. Somebody can say amen. Huh? Yeah. Some of us worship our stuff. We won't go out and we won't expand the kingdom of God because we might lose our stuff or we might lose our reputation. Somebody might say something mean against us or we might lose a friend over it. When the Lord said, love not your own life, lay down your life. Why? For him. He laid down his life for me. It's my job to go out and lay down my life for him. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean dying, but it means to go out and say things that I don't really want to say to people who I don't really want to say it to. But if I'm going to be his ambassador, then I'm at some point, I got to step up to the plate and say, sorry, dude, that is wrong. Folks, everything we see evil in this country is being done with the approval of women, tacit approval of the American church. Oh, we could say we're against abortion. We could say we're against gay marriage, but we don't do anything about it. We don't do anything about it. So if a hurricane comes whopping up through Hebron, Ohio, I got to be honest with you, I probably deserve it. I haven't been a very good watchman. I haven't been a very good caretaker of the gift that he's given me. Haven't been a very good ambassador to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you, try to expand the kingdom of God. No. I sit by, finance, watch, and allow the kingdom of darkness to expand. Somebody say amen, so I know I got a buddy
up. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, this just happens to be the way my mind works, right? Listen to this one. I'm going to tie a little knot in here. Opie, our cat, is on his last legs, man. I mean, it's sad to watch because he's lost a lot of weight. He doesn't eat. He used to get up on our bed and sleep in the bed with us. He can't jump to get up there anymore. He's about that big around. Opie's dying. And so Michelle's upset about Opie dying. And I love old Opie. He can't talk. I don't know that yet. He just can come up and meow at you, right? And I thought, well, I'm gonna go out back. I'll put a bullet in his head. I'll put him out of his misery. And yet that's hard to do. He's just a stupid cat. Does a cat have a soul? Come on. And he's in misery, but I can't bring myself to go put a bullet in his head. Can't. Why? Yeah, Betty, because he's family, see? He's family. But I have to realize that at some point, Opie's going to be gone. Whether he dies on his own, drops dead in the middle of the night, or whether I put a bullet in his head, he's going to be gone. The reality of life. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. God's faithful. The Bible says he'll not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you can withstand. With the temptation, he provides a way out. We sit around. This is what eats me alive, really. I sit around, and I watch other people's children be spiritually molested, and I don't do a damn thing about it. I say, none of my business. None of my business. Are you your brother's keeper? Wasn't that Jesus who said that? Are you your brother's keeper? Do I have an obligation to make sure that my neighbor's kid doesn't become a homo? Do I have an obligation to make sure that my homo's kid, my neighbor's kid, isn't introduced into transgenderism and at 6, 7, 8 years? Do I have an obligation to do that or not? So I would say that we sit around and we expect the wicked, Bible says, evil walks on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. I want you to pull back for a minute, and I want you to look across the spectrum of America, and you ask yourself, who is being exalted in America? Huh? Who is being exalted as role models for our children? Somebody give me a name. I'm going to wait a minute. Who's being exalted? Taylor Swift. Thank you. Go ahead. Huh? LeBron James. Thank you. Give me another one.
Right.
Bathhouse Barry. Go on. Who's being, huh? Hillary
Kamala.
Kamala. The vilest of men and women are being exalted. And our children are watching us exalt these wicked, wicked people. You don't know anything about it. And I don't want to get, I'm going to move on here. Hang on. I don't want to get too bogged down with the whole hurricane thing, but see, it seems to me that people become most real when they're threatened. They become most real. And I don't know if you saw yesterday the video of the freeway, people trying to get out of Florida, running out of gas and traffic jams, people running for their lives. And if the tornado, the hurricane were to hit and were to kill 5,000 people, how many of them knew the Lord? And whose job was it to tell them about it? Why has the church become just an ingrown toenail? Focuses on everything. So I'm going to say this real quick. Gary's in, and we'll get Gary, because we're really moving forward hard with our hurricane relief down there. I want to encourage some of you. I didn't really get a chance to put it all together, but I want to plant this seed in you. Because my buddy, I won't say who it is just because I just doesn't matter. He wouldn't care if I did. A buddy called me the other day. He said, Coach, I want to start a ministry. I said, cool. He says, what do I do to start a ministry? How do I start a ministry? So do I need to get something from the government? On and on. Friends, are you looking at me, friends? Government's got no business doing anything with the church. First Amendment of the Constitution says Congress shall make no law.
Amen.
Regarding the establishment of a religion, you don't need to go to the government to get approved for a church. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So if I got to go get a lawyer to draw me up papers, that's putting a burden on me that the government cannot put on me. The church is over the government. The government is not over the church. And I would encourage many of you out there, maybe I'll get some expert in here to tell us to walk us all through that stuff. to get the hell away from 501c3s and all that kind of stuff. You are a minister of the gospel of the kingdom, and you do not need your government's approval to do it, folks.
Amen.
They've convinced us we have. And then when you want to start a ministry, people will call somebody else, say, what do I need to do? And then they give them that litany of things that you got to do for the IRS, blah, 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 blah. And I think about how Craig's already got one. Craig's already got a ministry going. Randy's already got a ministry going. Huh? Neil's already got a ministry going. Jeff Klein's already got a ministry going. A lot of you already got ministries going. And you think you need to go someplace and get ordained and some board on them. Oh, folks, that's all man-made stuff. All man-made stuff. All man-made. I'm a minister of the gospel of the kingdom. I answer to the Lord. I don't answer to a board because it's my vision, not the board's vision. I answer to the Lord. I'll give an account for what I've done. But the last thing I'm going to do is buddy up and partner up and get the approval of the government in order to do what it is the Lord's called me to do. Somebody out there say amen, know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
And you look around, and you look amen. Around, and you tell me whether or not amen. Your church, where you go, is it a small business or not? Huh? Yeah, it's a small business, isn't it? It's a small business. Always looking for somebody's approval. You know what? The Lord told me to go. I don't have to go to the mayor and ask him if I can go. I don't have to go to the sheriff and ask him, can I go? The Lord said, go. Go. Do what? Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. And we have so, what's the word I'm looking for? Businessized religion. Betty Perkins ought to have her own daggone church. See, not even church, ministry. Ministry. Maybe I'll get into that later. You want to get, a ministry? You want to get a ministry? You apply to the government, you get yourself a EIN number, it's a business number, and you need an EIN number to open a bank account. And you are off and running. You guys know that? Huh? Did you know that you have to do tax forms for the government? Do they send me their tax forms? Do I get to see how they're? Am I above the state or below it? Does God want Governor Michael DeWine controlling Pass Assault Ministries? I got to get the approval of the Treasury Secretary in order to serve the Lord. See, it's a mindset. It's a mindset. Now, I want to say this too, because I was having a conversation yesterday about J6. Some of our friends are still in trouble with J6 and Paul Gosselin and what's going on with Paul Gosselin. And to understand this, please listen, this is not a criticism of anybody, okay? Roger, Eileen, Zach, those of you out there who are lawyers, it's not a criticism of it. But the reality is you guys, attorneys, are part of a bar association. And if that bar association means this, I'm guessing now that somebody determines what the law is. And then all the attorneys then go into court and they have to follow that law. But friends, that law doesn't apply to the church and the individual Christians. How do I know that? Bring up the First Amendment, Spencer. Bring it up. But see, our lawyer, I'm not making fun of lawyers. I'm not making fun. It's like doctors. Doctors know the protocol that they have to do. So do lawyers. But the truth of the matter is the bar, maybe it's not the bar association, but somebody. Okay, can you guys read? Congress shall make no law. Time out a minute. There's three very important points right there in that first. Congress shall make no law. First of all, Congress is the one who makes laws, and they can't make a law. Congress cannot make a law regarding or respecting religion. I'm going to say it again because you don't get it. If Betty Perkins wants to start a church, she can do it. Congress can't make a law. Is anybody reading that differently than me? How about this? Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So they tell you, I'm just trying to give you a lesson here. They tell you you can't do a ministry. If you do get a ministry, you need to get government approval. And then, by the way, you got to send them all your daily expenses and send them all. You are bowing your knee to government. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion or prohibiting you from exercising your religion. You know why we can't win these things? Because the legal system looks at the law as God, not they don't look at Almighty God. The law is God. Previous decided. How many times I heard this from Pastor Bill. His attorney saying, you can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? Pastor Bill Dunphy was not able. You guys know this? Pastor Bill Dunphy was not able to take the witness stand on his behalf and explain why he did what he did. He wasn't able to get in the witness stand and say, listen, Bible calls me to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And the Bible also teaches me that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The Bible also tells me to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. The Bible also tells me to go into every creature, right? And explain that when I went to Washington, D.C., I was having a spiritual war. I was wrestling Psalm 2 against the kings of this earth who set themselves and the rulers taking counsel. He wasn't even allowed to make the Christian argument. Why? Because he was in Caesar's court. Why do the heathen rage? Do people imagine vain thing? Because the judges, the legal system, set themselves. And then they come up with all rules and regulations and precedents. And they counsel together. And we have Obama judges and Trump judges. And all of a sudden, we got both sides playing out in the legal system. And the kings, they set themselves and they take counsel together against the Christians. Do you see it? Come on. Here's the truth, though. You could follow every one of those rules. And you could be upfront with everything you do. And they can still throw you in jail. And they throw you in jail, and then you have to defend yourself against their ungodly accusations where they have stuck their nose where it doesn't belong. Their nose does not belong in the church.
Boom.
But majority of lawyers, I'm not banging lawyers. They go to law school, and it's what the law school teaches them. But Christians ought to understand the true separation between the church and the state. The government has no business controlling anything an individual Christian does. Do you get that, friends? You get that? Do you really think that a Christian ought to have to go save his receipts, produce them to the government? That's where we are, though. That's why we're in the mess that we're in. Because the church has bowed its knee to government. That's where the battle is going to be. That's where the battle is right now, in fact. Then this situation. I've rambled on. I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about. We got some stuff going on. Let me jump in here with Randy. Randy, do you have a ministry yet? You need to have one. You need to have one. How about this one? How about Lunsford Family Ministries? Do you have that? Why don't you have that one? How about Social? Oh, Dale's already got one. How about Dobbenmeyer Family Ministries? I need the government's approval. Folks, come on, man. Come on. God's doing a new thing in the church. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, you've said it all. All I can do is add to this in a little bit. But first of all, Coach, one of our decrees is all precedent laws that are not constitutional or unrighteous, that they would become null and void, okay? We're actually going to see that happen, Coach.
I believe we are
going to see that because the 501c3 was an unconstitutional amendment, and it has to be null and void because it breaks the First Amendment. It breaks that the truth of the First Amendment.
Bring that First Amendment back.
Law that puts the, you know, so once the people begin to understand this coach, and they are, there's going to be a lot of laws overturned. Even some amendments will be overturned because you can't break your own law to create another law. And that's what we've done. And that's what everyone's starting to realize has happened.
So Randy, if I have to go out, somebody help me out here. If I start a ministry and I have to go out and hire a treasurer, is that, help me out, is that abridging my freedom? If I got to go pay for something, is that prohibiting the free exercise of it if I don't have the money to do that? Well, of course it is, folks. Words mean things. But see, we've allowed them to change the meaning of words, change the words, change the world. Go ahead, Randy. I'm sorry.
So Coach, now I'll just say one more thing. So when we went down and stood with Tony Spell and Judge Roy Moore and his team, they kept the First Amendment in authority, okay, because they upheld it, okay? So that's what has to happen. But if no one will stand up and make them do that, then they can rule whatever, however they want. So mm-hmm. The Constitution and even God's law only works when people stand up and make other people come underneath it. And you know, we have to see that it's enforced. But amen. When no one does anything, then tyranny can go unchecked.
Spencer, do me a favor. Look up for me. Well, my brain just went dead. I'll get it. It'll pop back in. Good deal.
Well, Coach, you must have been looking at those little screenshots I sent you yesterday from the homeschool teaching of Abeka. I just want to read this because history has a way of repeating itself. You know, Jonathan Kahn and Robert Bullock got this video out there. It's called The Tale of Two Kings. And we're seeing this again. It was that Saul and David and the religious things. But anyway, in the 1600s, this is I was doing this with my daughter. I said, we are literally repeating ourselves here. We're talking about church intrusion on the government on the church. And it says, in the 1600s, many New England churches adopted what was called the halfway covenant. A halfway covenant church, an agreement to grant memberships to unconverted descendants of the church members. The promoter of this measure hoped that it would extend the influence of the church and lead more people to Christ. But the move compromised the Puritan conviction that the church ought to be composed of true converted believers. And instead of the church changing sinners, sinners were changing the church. Coach, this is in 1600. And this influence then brought forth a great revival with Jonathan Edwards, right, and John Charles Wesley. And this is what influenced our founding fathers to have a revolution because they got a revelation. I want to read this last thing.
Hang on a second, Dale. So here's the question. Did the church create the government or did the government create the church?
The church created the government. Now watch this. It says the outcome of this, the religious freedom was this. The Great Awakening helped people to see that first, Christ must be received by an individual, and two, church functions best when they are kept free from government support and regulation. Coach, this is American history. I wish I could send this to you to when you go into that school, because this is really what catapulted us. What, did we just wake up one day and decide we were going to have a revolution? No. Our founding fathers got a revelation because of the preaching and the thunderous power of the pulpits in the mid-1700s that brought us. Coach, we are there right now.
We are, brother. We are. And I would encourage many of you to start your home church. See, I don't even know why we call it a home church. I don't know why. Why do you call it a home church? We are the church, a fellowship. Get people together regularly. Train them. Send them. Look, when you go to church, I don't know where you go to church. Chances are 90% of the people don't have any idea what's going on.
Well, Coach, I'm going to say this last thing. Church has become a business, right? That's what the 501c3. Business, what does business do? Always looking for more customers, new customers. We're no longer looking to create new converts.
That's right, brother. That's right. Fields are white under the harvest. Robert, come on in. You got to unmute yourself there, Robert. Robert Morella, unmute yourself. Go ahead, Tim, while Robert's figuring it out. Go ahead.
Tim Tuba. A pastor friend of mine was on a mission trip, had a bunch of cash on him, and he was helping the poor, and he gave cash to some people. Somebody in his church said to him, "Do you have a receipt for that money you gave away?" And so he said, "Well, no, I gave away cash to help these families." And so he contacted the DA, and the DA came after him and tried to put him in jail for taking funds.
Unbelievable.
Out of the church. And it almost killed the guy. Anyway, he ended up giving it, you know, resigning his church, and all kinds of crap took place. So just because you gave money away to somebody and some idiot in the church.
So Tim, you were part of a religious organization, and you couldn't, as an individual pastor, you really couldn't do a whole lot without their approval. Is that true?
Well, no, because my denomination, the pastor was a CEO. So you can make your decisions that way. The church council was a sounding board, not authority givers. But in many of the other denominations, yes, they are authority givers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. So be careful, Coach.
What's that?
I said, so be careful out there.
Yeah. Well, because why? Because, see, friends, you're not going to have many pastors in your corner on this one. Because they've been taught this other 501c3, follow the law, obey the government. They've been taught that one, see. They taught the other one. And I don't know about you. I hope the Lord's merciful, because I'm about you. I'm going to stand before him someday, and he's going to say, "Hey, Coach, just curious. Did you pay taxes to fund abortion and transgenderism? Tell me you didn't do that, did you, Coach?" I'll say, "Well, my pastor told me I had to." What? Jesus is going to say, "Your pastor told you I had to?" Well, he'll have his moment before me as well. See, the church is supposed to operate unencumbered by the forces of government. Church is free. Congress shall make no law regarding the church. No law. The government has no authority over the church. It's crazy, man. Janine.
Well, I find it really sad that as believers, we don't read our word of God. There is only one church. Yes, there's of that church, there's many parts to that body, but there is only one church. There's only one Lord. Please bring up 2 Timothy 1-4, I think it is. And if we would understand, we don't need to have somebody's approval. He says, "I charge you before the Lord, preach the word in season and out of season." That means you are the church. So get busy and do the work of all those fivefold that everybody wants to make this amazing thing out of.
Yep, that's right.
And it's a sad thing because people, maybe that's the reason why there's so many different Bibles, because they don't know who the true Lord is. And that's when he's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It's his character. Put on the whole armor. The whole character, put on the mind of Christ.
That's right.
And do his work.
Amen, Janine. Amen. We've been so mistaught on that one, huh? Preach the word. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom," not the government. Preach the word. Unencumbered by the government. Preach the word. "Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers who have itching ears, and they're going to go find the teacher that will scratch it for them." Robert Morella, still trying to get you in here, Robert. Got to unmute. Adam.
Hey, church. The 501c3 has turned the church into a prostitute and the government into our pimp.
It has, for sure.
Simply, that's all it is.
People, start your own church. Start your home fellowship. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Dave or Sherry?
Yeah, Coach. Thanks. When Dale said that they want customers, not converts, for many years, I think the church has moved away from it, but for many, many years, you go into a lot of the churches and they had the scoreboard up on the front wall, right?
They
showed you two numbers, what the attendance was and how much they gave. It'd be like going to a baseball game. All they showed you was the attendance and how much money they took, and they could care less about the score of the game, right?
That's right. That isn't the way it works, though, is it? A good catch, Dave. Roger. I hope the attorney's not going to take me to the woodshed here.
Oh, I won't. It's too early for me to take you to the woodshed, but your day's coming, brother.
Yes, sir.
You know, I understand government should have nothing to do with the church, but I think we make it much too complicated of what they're doing. When you are taxed, about 40 to 55% of your earnings is taxed.
Yep.
They make it very difficult to provide for your family. So then the church also is reeling from that high taxation. The people are unable to give as much as maybe they would like because so much is going to the government for taxes, right, regardless of the commands of the Bible. And so the pastor sits there and, you know, the government official may not be sitting in the pew like they are in China, but their policies take so much of the American dollar,
yes, sir,
that it almost forces, and forces hard because I know God's word is supreme, for the pastor to lay low because he's trying to get money in to pay salaries, to have, you know, a youth program. So he doesn't dare go any place that is controversial for fear of not having the money to pay the overhead. It's very simplistic, I know, and there's probably other things to take into account. But it's not that, you know, when you and the average person going to church, they probably like to give something to the church, but you know, the little league it costs to play little league is here, and the taxes are at, you know, 45. I mean, you and I work. I think it's like till May, just on the tax issue before we get any of our own money.
So, Roger, let me take you back to the First Amendment. Spencer, can you pull that back up there for me, please? By the way, thanks to all of you who are donating. I'm bringing Gary in here. I'm going to give you a little bit of idea of what we're doing, what we got going on. Some really, really good stuff. Now, look, come shake your head because your eyes are stuck, okay? Get out of there, all that stuff that you thought. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. If they're taking 40% of your pay, are they prohibiting the free exercise of your faith?
Boom.
It's pretty simple, isn't it, friends? You see, I want to fund this, and I want to fund this, and I want to fund this, but I can't because you're taking all the money, and you're blocking the free exercise of my faith. Get it, folks?
Dave, it's as good as argument as the lawyers that want to take over the earning capacity for Alex Jones and are filing motions to do something under the 13th Amendment. Right. So it may be as crazy, but their side doesn't seem to have any trouble testing things in the court system.
Yeah, that's right, Roger. In fact, Alex Jones is in trouble because he made people feel bad. Yeah, do you understand that? They want to dismantle InfoWars because talking about Sandy Hook or whatever it was, he made people feel bad. Feel bad. Feelings. Randy. So after Coach, Randy, then I'm going to switch. I got to get some work done. Yeah. Go ahead, Randy.
So, Coach, one last thing here. This is a good place to make a decision today here. So if we're giving and we say, hey, yeah, oh, I need that donation receipt, we still love the system, Coach. I'm sorry. We're still in the system because until you say, look, I'm going to give whether I get a darn receipt or not. I don't care if I count it on tax on my donations or not. I'm going to give. So when you get free of that, Coach, in your own heart, when you get free of that and say, I don't file anyway, Coach. I don't care if I get a donation receipt. So I'm out of it anyway. But people, until you make a point, I did this about 20 years ago. I said, you know what? Am I really giving just to get that donation more?
Randy,
I really need that. Once I got free of that bondage, Coach, I tell you what, God said, anytime I tell you to give, you give. Don't worry about that receipt. Yeah. So that's a way to see where we're at in Christ, in the kingdom. If we're really free government, or and we really want to be part of God's system or Babylon. There's a good opportunity.
So the difference in those two words, folks, the church is tax immune, not tax exempt. We allowed the government to get in control of the church and then said, okay, you are exempt. You don't have to. The government had the authority to say to the church, you don't have to do that. When, in fact, the church should say to the government, I'm exempt, dude. I'm exempt. Leave me alone. That's the way it was designed. But over years and years and years of, you know, them twisting laws and all that stuff, we end up where good, God-fearing people think they have an obligation. The church has an obligation to pay taxes to the government. And can I tell you this? Individuals have no obligation to pay taxes to the government. Why?
Amen.
Because it violates your freedom of speech, right of peaceably assemble, and your ability to not be forced by the government to fund things that you do not agree with, things that go against your conscience. We're coming back to that. Jeff, and then I got to switch gears here real quick. I got Gary up early this morning. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, before you switch gears, wouldn't you think that if the government's coming to destroy Christianity and destroy a good pastor, that some Christian attorneys would want to talk to somebody, the eyewitness account, to interview him for, on his behalf if he can't speak? Wouldn't you gather as much information as you could?
I would think, but that's because I don't bow my knee to the government.
Well, I'm just saying, though, I sit here today, all the lies that were told about him, and not one question was asked me.
He wasn't allowed to defend himself. He wasn't in the United States of America. He was not allowed to defend himself. Amazing. He's not the only one. That's the system that they've set up. By the way, with the compliance of the church, most pastors think Dunphy shouldn't have done that. He got in trouble. He shouldn't have done that. He should have obeyed the government. Amen? That's where we are. That's where we are. Okay, hey, let me switch gears here. Go ahead, Lorianne. Go ahead.
Well, and what a lot of people don't realize, because they haven't had the context of history taught with scripture, they've received including myself, have received a false gospel. And it's only because I've studied it, you know, that when Jesus was tried and crucified, it wasn't by the crowd that was from Palm Sunday. It was from the 2,000 Hell's Guard that were there. So the government is the one who set him up for that trial very early in the morning, because they did not want the crowds, because he's so popular with the crowds, to do an uprising. So they did all the trials and all of that in the early part of the morning. So nobody knew. And when they were all yelling, crucify him, crucify him, that was all the palace guard. They were that was exactly the same thing. There's nothing new under the sun. It was the government, the palace guard, just like you're seeing the National Guard going over these people with their helicopters, swirling things around. So these tents and everything, and creating a dust storm so that nobody can get any help. They crucified him because it was the government doing it.
Amen. Amen. So the scripture says, not the scripture, I'm sorry, free exercise thereof. That's what it says, right? Free exercise thereof. Prohibiting. They can't make anything that will stop you from exercising your religion. If I want to give $1 million to the hurricane relief, I don't need the government's approval. I don't need the government's write-off. Sorry, but that's what they've made us believe. Okay, let me switch gears here real quickly, because I got 15 minutes to kind of lay this out. I want to tip my hat to Gary and Clay Parker's down there. We are, Gary, are you out there, man? Come on in, Gary, and talk about what we're going to do and when we're going to do it down with our friends in
Jonesboro.
Jonesboro. Thank you. You there, Gary?
Yeah. Thank you, Coach. Good morning, all. The Grindstone Ministries, that is at the First Baptist Church down there in Jonesboro. This group has gone in to the church and completely taken over their facility, building, grounds, and main ministry, whatever. and the church has opened themselves up to it. So that's been great. So Grindstone Ministries is, they like groups like ours. What they are very particular about who they have come in to work on ministry and volunteer. So they like the fact that, hey, Pass the Salt Ministries has a Salt and Light Brigade. People are already vetted, so they don't have to worry about that. So they're depending on us to send people in that are trustworthy. So that's number one. They are great on communications. So I've already have 2 and 3 people that I can work with, and I'm communicating with them. I'm already getting texts this morning about information that I requested. So communication is very, very good. So that's tremendous. Now, the dates that we're looking at, they want to be able to schedule people in and out so they can have a balance of crew. So what we've decided on at this point is going in for 1 to 2 week period, depending on how many volunteers we get. Right now, starting Monday, October 28th, and going possibly through November 9th. So that's 2 weeks. So what we need to do is we need to get a list of volunteers. So we need names.
Now, hang on a minute, Gary. We know some of you can't go 2 weeks. We understand that. If you can only go maybe 3 days or 4 days, we're making plans for that as well. Go ahead, Gary. Sorry.
Yeah, what I'm going to be doing is putting together a schedule. And so we're gonna dedicate so many man days to Grindstone Ministries so that they can assign them make the assignments out in the field. So
this is for boots on the ground, folks. This is for boots on the ground to help them on location.
So I will be keeping a schedule of people who are volunteering, and we need you to be flexible on your dates over that 2 week period.
Ray's already committed a 7-team member from Wisconsin to come down. So he's already working a crew to get down there. Go ahead, Gary.
So what we need is names. Okay, I need your contact information, cell phone number, and email, and special skills if you have them. That is something that I'll touch base here in a little bit next. Like Ray contacted me yesterday. He has several people he's getting together. That's great. If you can concentrate some of that communication into one person, and then have that person, like Ray, is going to contact me and give me all the names and all the contact information of those other people. Eventually, I will be reaching out to those individuals because there is a deployment list that Grindstone has put together of all the items. There's about 20 items that they have a list that they want people to bring. So it's a great reminder list. Plus, they want you to be as self-sufficient as possible when you go on site, and not be a burden to the ministry or anybody else. So the list is great. You'll be getting that, so you know what you'll need to bring.
Let me interrupt a minute, Garrett. Let me interrupt again here. Hold on. So Pennsylvania Brett has already filled up a truck, and they're already gone. Craig Mickle has already filled up a truck, and he's already gone. And so if you're in an area like that where you've got stuff and you can fire up a truck and take it down there, we will finance your trip. You understand that, friends? If you're able to go set up someplace in your local town to collect donations, whatever, and then drive it down to Florida, we will help cover that expense. So we have people right now who are already on their own initiative, already pushing stuff down there, and we salute them, and we're with them, and we love that initiative. All we would ask is you just kind of keep us in the loop so that we're not caught with our pants down there. And now, yeah, they're with us. No, we didn't know that kind of stuff. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, Neil Levy is doing the same thing.
Yep.
And providing a truck and be collecting donations. I already talked about flexibility of dates, so we need be flexible on those dates. So they're telling me that we can have maybe 10 to 15 people on site at one time, and they will provide a lodging in the church, group lodging. Okay.
Sleep in the cot. You're going to sleep on a cot and a sleeping bag.
Yep. And so you have showers available. The one special need that is they told me about was food service. They are looking for cooks to go into the church kitchen to produce food. Okay. A couple meals a day and, make food for there probably were 40 people on site, at the church when we were there, plus the people that go out, in the field and, come back. So they try to feed as many of them.
The whole operation is going to change here a little bit after we get through these first couple, 3 weeks. Then it's going to, right now it's kind of a rescue mission. Once it's, we get through this period, it's going to be kind of a rebuild, reconstruction period we're going to go into. Go ahead, Gary.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, so food service. The one thing about food service, it's kosher. No pig at all. Okay, so if you're thinking of cooking and you're thinking of bringing food, no pork at all, please. That was one thing they were very adamant about. I told you about the deployment list. So they're going to be specific arrival instructions. So I will have to be working with the group that you're taking down and providing those instructions to come on site. They're just very, very tightly controlled security. Okay, so they know who's coming in, when, and they can coordinate that very well. And of course, any donations that you can bring down when you are coming and any self-sufficient items that you can bring, it'll be very important so that, again, you're not a burden to that group and you're, you know, whatever food you can supply of your own, that'd be great. So those are the nuts and bolts of it.
Give us the date again, Gary.
October 28th, and we're looking through the November 9th.
So, folks, you can't come down the 28th, but you can come down November 2nd. We just need to coordinate it, right? But flexible. We're flexible in that way. Gary, let me get a couple questions because we're running short on time. PA Brett, come on in, Brett.
Morning, Coach. Morning, team. So we got our orders this morning from Brother Paul McKee in South Carolina from the Southern Baptist Church. So we're headed to a town called Pisgah Forest. Pisgah, P as in Paul. And so right now we're on our way to meet Craig and Wayne down here in Bordentown, Maryland. And let's see. So anyway, Paul.
You've raised your own money, right, Brett? You've raised your money to go do it. You just went out and did it.
Coach, it is unbelievable the outpour that came in to our church at home. Unfathomable. So I don't know if I should give that out or not, but
I'm just trying to encourage people that maybe right there in their own church, they can still, we have a place for them to take food if they want to do that. We're encouraging you to folks out there to get involved at any, whatever level you can. We'll help you. If you get a truck and you can fill it full of food where you live, we'll buy your gas down there. We'll help you get down there. That's all I'm trying to say, Brett.
So, yeah. So a substantial amount of money, more than I could have ever hoped for. But anyway, talking to Paul from the Southern Baptist Church this morning, he is now being told that they need boots on the ground. And this is all around the Asheville, North Carolina area. So this is the first call that they've had to, get boots on the ground, start cutting up trees. I'm sure they've been at it themselves down there, but now they're starting to ask for help.
All right, Brett. Let me move on. Get some others in here.
So you got it. Nice. Go.
Brett's gone, and we're connected with him, and we're going to help him in any way we can. But he took the initiative. We're gone, and a lot of you out there can do that as well. Gino, come on in.
I just got two things I need to go back. We've gone so far, but anyway, has anybody heard the name about Mark Robertson to help over there? Because I was listening to somebody, they said a church organization, that if you go through the church, FEMA comes in and clamps everything down, and it has to go through them. But then they said if you go through a Mark Robertson, I haven't checked his name. I don't know anything about him, but I don't know if anybody's heard about him or not. But you guys have got a lot of things going there. It sounds very positive.
Yeah, so, thanks, Gene. Hey, Mark Robinson.
But anyway, I just wanted to go back to about the income tax thing. When I started 30 years ago about not filing income tax, I asked God, please show me the truth about this. And boy, did he show me a lot.
Mm.
And I had to make a decision for those people who give at church because they feel they have to file an income tax and pay it. And when they pay that, they are already getting their blessing. There's no more blessing after that. So anyway,
amen.
People, as a Christian, we've got to understand what we are doing through this government.
That's right.
But anyway, I just want to throw that in.
We're in the world. We're not of the world. Thanks. Thanks, Gene. Hey, by the way, folks, I would encourage you to bring your teenage children down. Now, you got to babysit them. I'm not going to babysit them. Gary ain't going to babysit them. But what a great opportunity for your children to learn to serve. And I would just encourage a lot of you to do that. Craig, come on in.
Well, without getting into the cash part of it, Coach, we're coming down with the money that you're sending us. Everything that we got is contributed and paid for. And I'm just figuring what I got, goods and just goods, we're probably taking down close to $20,000 in goods between Brent and I, just in goods, right? And when we got tarps, we got water filtration systems that will do 100,000 gallons. We got the food, we got medical. So you can do this. You can do this with your own community.
You can do that. You could. By the way, if you want to do it, we will rent you a trailer. If that's part of the problem, you don't have a trailer, we'll rent you one. You can go to U-Haul or whatever and get it. We'll rent that for you. But don't do it till you run it by us. Okay. Gary, we got about 3 minutes here, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to emphasize the special equipment. If you know how to use it, bring it. So, chainsaws are still on the list, or heavy equipment operators, skid steers or dump trucks, hauling, any mechanical repair, and people who understand mechanics of machines that need repaired. Long range communication, internet. If you do have a food truck, yes, could definitely be used.
So we're moving. See, folks, we're moving from a rescue to a rebuild. That's why we didn't get people down there right now, because it's all rescue stuff, and it may continue for a while. But here, and when we get down there in a couple of weeks, then we'll need chainsaws and hammers and nails and all that kind of stuff. Then everything's going to change. I'm sorry, Gary. Go ahead.
No, I'm good.
Right. Cool. So, again, I would just encourage you, even if you can only come for a couple of days, folks, first of all, for you to come and see the devastation, you got to see it with your own two eyes. You got to see it. And to understand, again, as I started out talking about the fact that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, you're going to find godly people who lost everything. So this idea that God's going to protect us all materially, which is kind of the messages the church gives out, just isn't true. And we have to somehow be able to break through this idea that when disaster hits, you turn to the government. We got to break that, folks. We got to break that. And how about this? How about if all connect all of it together? Think how much more money there would be in the church if people weren't paying so much stinking income tax to the federal government, to give it to the Ukrainians and giving it to the Russians. You with me, right? Giving it to Israel. Think how much more money we would have available to take care of ourselves. So I appreciate you, Gary, all that you're doing there. And friends, we'll continue to take donations. Donations have been really, really, really good and really strong. But we think that the money is going to be, as we head on down the road in this next phase, our expense, just think about rebuilding. What that's going to cost. So anything for good of the group? God bless you all. I'm going to have to run pretty quickly. I got to go to We're then in Kilbourne this morning, speak to the seniors. And look, I'm not anti-government. I'm pro-God government. I'm pro-God government. I'm not anti-government. We need government. God gave us government. But at some point, we have to realize that the federal government has seized the authority of church government. And at some point, we're going to have to fight to take that back. And it may not be pretty, but that's the task that lays before us. God bless you all. Just contact me if you need any questions. I'll shoot them probably. I'll let Gary answer them, and we'll get moving. Last weekend of October. Circle that. God bless you. See you tomorrow.